Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Good morning, everybody. Come on, I said good morning, all you early birds. Good morning to all the people that stayed at home today because you have no discipline and the time change took an hour away. We're going to have a good day today. Look at your neighbor and say, we're having a good time already. I know you're wanting me to address what's going on here. By the way, this looked a lot better when Nicole wore it. You know, it's a whole different deal. But I was thinking on the way here, I was like, they were wrapping me in the back, and I started spinning with them, and I started getting dizzy, and then I thought, man. I started getting hungry because I was thinking about a wrap, and then I was like, man, bacon wrap. This is kind of a pig in a blanket here. Come on, somebody. It's not going to get any better. You might as well laugh now. I'm trying to break the ice. Today, though, we're going to talk a little bit about money. You talk about it all the time. I used to be afraid to talk about money at church, and then I realized that you guys talk about it all the time. You see somebody, and you're like, oh, how much did that cost? You went on that trip. How much did you have to pay for it? And then you talk about retirement. How much have I got in the bank? Come on, somebody ought to say amen to this, though. You talk about it. You know, what's the interest rate on that? I mean, money is a big part of our lives. And the Bible talks about it, and 2/3 of the parables in the Bible are dealing with money. Oftentimes people say, you know, money's the root of all evil. And I heard an old lady one time, she was holding a $100 bill up to her check, and she said, it's not evil, it's soft and kind. It solves problems. Because money does solve problems. It creates problems, but it solves problems. It'll actually free you up. The Bible said this about money. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So you love it. You just want more of it. And there's nothing wrong with money. In fact, a lot of great things are happening around the world today, Faith Church at Weldon. And you think about the building that you're in right now, it happened because people sacrificially gave. And there at Fairview Heights, the new building, I thought it was going to be $6 million. $13 million later, you guys are expensive. Give it up for those people that are really expensive. Can't blame it on them. Costs a lot of money to give the eggs the contractors necessary to give them the fuel to make it happen. But God wants you to be blessed. Because when you're blessed, think about this, you'll be a blessing. When you're poor, in fact, I was talking a minute ago, one of the guys that was rapping me because we were talking about food a second, and I was talking about food, and I got excited. I think I really am hungry, honestly. And I said, you know, part of my problem is when I grew up, we didn't have a lot of food, so even today, if there's food left in the refrigerator, anybody like me, and you got to eat it just because you're like, I got to eat it. Come on, raise your old chubby hand up here. I act like I'm the only one. Like, I got to finish that. You got to finish that. I mean, there's starving kids in Ethiopia. I got to finish that. And then I'm like, you know, I really need to join, like, Weight Watchers or something. So I'm paying more money. But again, it's a poverty mentality. Now, when you get blessed, here's what I know about you. You went to church today. You lost an hour of sleep. And you went to church. You put your foot forward and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You brought your kids and your grandkids to church because you wanted to leave a legacy. You know that the world's pretty chaotic, but you're doing the right thing. So I know this about you. If you had a revelation of how God wants to bless you financially, you would enact on it. The reason why I'm wrapped up right now is last week, actually, last week was a great sermon. My son preached it. Would you give it up for Austin? I'd say my son. I had nothing to do with it. Come here, Nicole. Come here real quick, just to show you, I didn't do it. She did it, but she looks pretty fine for making a couple kids who gave me grandkids. Actually, I tell her all the time, everything I love came out of her. Can you give it up for Nicole one more time?
I do have one thing to tell you, sweetie.
What?
While your hands are in that Saran wrap, I took $20 off your dresser.
Oh, come on. She got all my money. But we talked a couple weeks ago where the Lord was speaking to me, and you saw that window up there, because that window represents Malachi 3:10. They'll put it on the screen for you. It says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse. So that's the local church. That there may be food in my house. Try me now, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open, here's that famous window, the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing, there will not even be room enough to contain it. There's that window. So here's the point. I want you to write it down. God's blessings are waiting, but he can't pour it into closed hands. They put $100 on the table, and they know I'm a preacher, so they tied my hands up. But say this is God's blessing, and I cannot access the blessing because my hands are too tied up holding on to what I've got, and God has much more for me. All I had was $20. We come to find out that was stolen today by the enemy. Come on, somebody. You hear what I'm saying? Come on. Right. I didn't mean it. She's got a lot of he money, money he don't know about. Can I get a better amen of it? So now I can't access this money because my hands are tied. God will get it to you if he can get it through you, okay? Amen. Luke 6:38. It says, given it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Running over. Shout it with me, everybody. Why? Come on, every campus. Why?
Running over.
Running over will he put into the bosom. For the measure that you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. Giving. We know that the Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever given somebody something and the expression on their face, and maybe it's your kid or something like that, and you're like, I cannot wait. I'm also the type of guy that if I give you a gift I buy you a gift for your birthday and it's a month away, I've got to tell you, hey, I got you a gift for your birthday. You want to know what it is? Nicole's like, no, I don't know what it is. You're blood. No, really, you want to know what it is, right? And then I'm like, ah, screw it. Here it is. I gave it to you early. Because I actually like the feeling it gives me. There's dopamine that's released in my head, and I want to be the guy. I want you to celebrate. There's just something about it. The Bible says more blessed to give than to receive. Part of the why you feel the way you do is because that's the God in you. For God so loved the world, he shouted, class, what he gave. Shout it again, Fairview, what?
He
gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Think about this. He's only got one son, and he decides, hey, I'm going to tie my hands up and say, I could save my son, but I'm actually going to sacrifice my son, because if I sow my son, I will reap sons and daughters. And he sowed that. And look at your neighbor and say, look what he got out of the deal. He got you. The same thing happens with you. When you give, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God wants to give you more resources, but you can't reach it because you're holding on to what you got. I can't give God a dime out of a dollar. Trust me when I tell you that $90 with God goes a whole lot further than $100 without God. And God's never trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. I got this statement. If your hands are in your pockets, you can't catch what God's trying to pour into them. So my hands are completely tied, so I cannot catch what God's trying to put into me because I'm too tied up. I also want to tell you to stop the limiting belief that you have that there's not enough money. There's plenty of money in the world. There's all kinds of money in the world. Some of you looking like, you could have fooled me. I don't see no money. Just because you ain't got none doesn't mean it's not out there. You say, well, the Bible says that money is evil. No, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a difference between loving money and having money. A lot of you guys love money, but you ain't got no money. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that today. I love money. I wake up for money. The alarm clock's going to hit me at Monday morning because I need the money. The guy who dates my daughter, he said, ain't nothing funny if you ain't got no money. Nicole hates it when I say it because it's a bad confession, but Paris is hilarious. He's working at the Ritz-Carlton today trying to get some money because someday he wants to buy a ring and he wants to marry my daughter. Plus, he's got to marry me. You got to buy me stuff, too, if you're going to get my daughter. Come on, we going to the old school. Come on, somebody, you got to bring me some cattle. Come on, somebody, act like you believe this today. Help me. We need Paris to believe this. I need a car. You got to take care of me when I'm old. Proverbs 11:24. It says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. So when you say, God, I want to give you my heart. We sing that. God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. God says, hey, I need you to not be selfish and give 10% of your income. You go, hey, that's kind of a problem. We sing the song, give myself away. Oh, I love you, Lord. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give me $10 out of a dollar. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You get behind me. No. Because our flesh, if not controlled, becomes selfish. Next point would be that selfishness leads to loss, while generosity leads to abundance. If you think broke, you'll be broke. If you think big, you'll live big. God will get it to you if he can get it through you. At the Wellness Spring campus today, there's a guy there. His name is Scott Criswell. He helped, actually, with the whole down payment of that church today. Can we give it up for Scott Criswell? And Scott, you know, he first came to the church. He didn't have hardly any money, and they didn't even have cable TV. How many of y'all know you really broke, you ain't got cable? And they started coming to church, and they started tithing. He worked himself up from the low man on the totem pole at a company that he worked for to eventually he became the president of the company. While being the president of the company, he still exhibited the behavior, although the amount that he was giving to God was way bigger. But he exhibited the behaviors that he did when he started, and it was pretty easy to tithe when it was only $100. But it when it became $100,000, that hurts. I've never tithed $100,000. Probably never will, because I work at a church. But I must say that it would probably, would you vote with me that it'd be pretty hard? Because you're like, look at all this stuff I could buy for $100,000. Come on, raise your hand so you don't go to hell for lying in church today. You're like, not me, God. You can trust me with $100,000. God's like, I can't trust you with $10, Becky. And then the Holy Spirit, because he was a tither, he and Jane, and they were givers, and they said, God, we're actually going to break out of this limited belief. Then he had an idea from the Holy Ghost. And way before, about 2 years before COVID hit, he had an idea, and he went to the company and all the powers that be and said, I feel like that we need to get in the hand sanitizing business. And they said, that's crazy. He said, no, I really think we should. And then he said, it's crazy. He said, no, I really feel like we should. And he kept pushing and pushing, and then they bought all the equipment and built the buildings and made all the stuff happen. And then as soon as they got it all up and running, COVID happened. And then all of a sudden, he had so much money, he's like Michael Jackson rich. Thinking about buying a monkey. Can I get an amen up in here? I need a monkey. Give me a giraffe. Because God blessed him because he said, I'm going to stretch my mindset and I'm not going to just hold on to what I got. I'm going to let go. And then when you let go, then God remembers that and now he blesses you. And when you have a God-blessed idea, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, starts running over. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Come here, Corey. This is why you need to be in a small group. Corey's going to cut me out, I think. Yeah. Oh. And there he is. So don't, if you're bound, this is why I want you to go through Growth Track today. Connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. And I want you in a group. Because I couldn't possibly get out of here by myself. But look at that. Corey, this is my gift to you. If you put that on, it'll help you sweat those fat out of here. Get out of here. Come on, you'll look like me in no time. Come on, give it up for Corey. So when I cut myself free, now I have access to go, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They tell me that there's $100 on this table. So $10 out of the 100 goes to God. What people usually do, though, is they make the mistake and they're like, I got to pay my car payment. I got to pay my house payment. I got to pay this. I got to pay that. I got to pay Netflix. I got to pay. And then they go, oh, God, sorry. There's nothing left. And I promise you, that's probably the way it's going to be your whole life. There will not be anything left unless you honor God. If you have experienced this, and don't lie in church, but if you have experienced this to where you honored God, you tested him, and you gave him the first 10%, and somehow, some way, you can't even put pen to pencil and make it, or pencil, pen to pencil, I meant. What did I mean, guys? I think I got kind of hot in that thing, and I think it's deprived me, and I think I'm What I meant to say, you know exactly what I meant to say. It doesn't make sense. But somehow, some way, God blesses it. So the first, everybody shout the first. So the first $10 out of $100 goes to God, and then you are blessed. Somebody shout, I am blessed. Shout it again like you mean it. Look at your neighbor and say, and I smell good. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Notice this is giving, not tithing. Giving is different than tithing. We return the tithe, we give what we decide in our own heart. I was talking to Anquan Boldin. He's a famous football player. This morning on the way here, he goes to our church in Florida. And Anquan is a religious tither. If Anquan is ever in some kind of plane crash somewhere, I'm going to find him. Because this guy gives, he sows, he's all in, he helps the kids. I mean, you talk about a good safety device, make sure you're a tither. Because if you ever get lost, nobody can find you. Life 360 can't find you. If you're a tither, your pastor will find you. Somebody said, I'm going to hunt you down on a desert island, figure out where you're at. But Anquan tithes. He has a revelation of that. He honors God, but then he also gives. And one of the things that he does is we have something that we do with him. We joined in forces with them in Florida, giving away thousands of turkeys. I'm talking a line all the way down in Florida going on for miles. There's Faith Church tents, and there's Anquan, and because Anquan's there, ESPN's there. That's all awesome, and it's good because God knew that Anquan would bless God. God blessed him. Give it up for that great man of God. So wherever you're at, you don't have to be a preacher. You just got to be a reacher. You determine your own level of blessing by the generosity that you give away. There's a difference between returning and giving. If I were to give you this $10, you don't ever have to give it back. But in this case, if I were to say, hey, I want to make you a steward, and I need you to watch this $100 for me while I'm gone, because we both know that somebody steals my money. No, it's not my money. When we got married, I decided it was going to be our money because I made $500 a week and she made $100,000 a month. And as soon as I found that out, I fell deeper in love with her than I was as soon as I saw her. I told her, whatever is yours is mine and whatever is mine is yours. We are co-laborers together in the gospel. I do not believe in prenuptials. It sets you up for divorce. Come on, I'm no dummy. Somebody ought to shout amen. Right? But if I said, hey, take this $100, watch it for me, and then I come back, you couldn't come to me and say, hey, PD, oh, you're going to be excited. I got something for you. You're going to love it. I'm going to give you $100. I'm going to look at you like you cray-cray. You're two chicken nuggets short of a Happy Meal. Your elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. That was my money. You returned it. Now, if you were to give me additional money besides that, that would be a gift from you to me. I just feel like maybe some of you should do that. That's a word from the Lord for somebody. You see what I'm saying? You return it. So the offering is the part that you give. It's called sowing. Haggai 1, verse 6. It says, you have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves. This reminds me, actually, every time I see clothe yourself, I think about Adam and Eve in the garden, just clothing themselves. Some of you are using your credit card to buy things you don't need, to impress people you don't know, with money you don't have, and now you're in debt. By the way, you ought to write this down. Debt means doing everything but thinking. It also means doing everything but tithing. And we try to clothe ourselves, but it says no one is warm, and he who earns wages to put it in a bag with holes in it. So this is where, right now, God wants to take us out of the world's economy into God's economy. Raise your hand if it's making sense. So if eggs go to, hey, you know, chickens are extinct. Eggs are expensive. This shouldn't matter to kingdom people because we know that our Father meets all of our needs and we are sharing access with Him and He's going to take care of me. I love that song. I listen to it all the time from Red Rocks. It goes, He has good plans for me. I know my Father. He has good plans. He's got good plans, plans to bless you, not to harm you. He wants to get it to you so He can get it through you. Because there's nations. Guys, we're impacting the world. When you bring your tithe into the storehouse, it doesn't, you've heard me say this before, and our pastors say it a lot. Think about Castor and Phil and Nia. They always say on stage, you don't give to the church, you give, shout it again, you don't give to the church, you give. So there's people in ambulances today in Haiti because of you. There's girls that were actually sex trafficked that are at the Dream Center in L.A. that were delivered out of that slavery because of you. There's over 10 churches in India that are solid concrete today with wells out front that people will walk sometimes 3 and 4 miles to get water, but the only way they get the water is if they go to church. So we water them with the word, and then we water them with real water. And when you get to heaven, God's going to look at you. Come on, somebody. And He's going to go, thanks for giving through a church. Somebody ought to shout amen. Thanks for giving through a church. It makes a difference. Tomorrow, me and Nicole, actually today, we fly and we'll fly all night to Argentina to meet with the president of Argentina tomorrow. And we're working on groups that we did in Paraguay. And now we'll be in Argentina and South America to get people in small groups. That's how strong we feel about getting people that don't even know Jesus around leadership tables to impact their life. So I don't want us to go do missions around the world in St. Louis and Florida not get it. Listen, if you want to change your life, change your mind. If you want to change your mind, renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through Tony Robbins? Great guy. But that's not how you renew your mind. Zig Ziglar? Great guy. Not how you renew your mind. It's not positive thinking. It's positive believing that says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and God is going to get it to me. Somebody ought to shout amen. If he can get it through me. But here's the question. Can He trust you? This statement's a good one. Holding on to your resources instead of giving results in lack and not abundance. My grandfather went through the Great Depression, or did he? He kind of stayed in it till the day he died because of what happened to him. Fear, false evidence appearing real. I just can't let God have that. I can trust God with my eternity, but I can't trust Him with the money. It's a big deal. I know what it's like to trust God. I think about this morning, I drove through the parking lot. I saw this giant building. I was thinking about all the other 9 churches and all the parking lots and all the heaters and all the air conditioners and everything. And I was just looking at it all and all the people that it takes to employ it. And I was thinking, man, Nicole had a bad idea. We should have just stuck with one church. One service? Or did we trust God, take steps of faith as we're sitting here today and the people at our newest campus there in Fairview are enjoying the benefits of your hard labor and your tithe? That makes an eternal impact. There's an ROI, return on investment. And then there's the EROI, and that's eternal return on investment. When you get to heaven, the campus that they're building right now in Lake Worth, where people are getting divorced in the area, where crime is rampant, drug abuse is nuts. When you get to heaven, God's going to go, hey, thanks. And I believe with all my heart that when you get to heaven, first of all, how many of y'all believe you're going to go? Raise your hand. Only half of you. Let's try it again. How many of y'all believe I'm going to go? I think I'm going to go. Okay, when you get to heaven, I believe there's going to be almost like a big screen, and God's going to show you the windows that He opened for you. And then He's going to show you the windows of opportunity that our church together, I can't do this alone, but together we can make an eternal impact to impact people for Jesus. Because here's the deal, guys. None of us get out of here alive. You're not going to take the money with you. Never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You've heard that before. Bury me with my money. Burying, it's kind of weird too. It's like guy, you know, he's got a suit on like he's going to a job interview. I think we got it kind of backwards. When you're born, they put you in a little warm blanket and They're all cuddly. I think they need a suit because they're going to have to work their butts off the rest of their lives. And that guy who's getting buried is like, put me in a blankie, wrap me up in swaddling clothing. Can you vote with me on that right now? But we labor and we toil and we work hard. And actually, that's kind of under the curse. God wants you to be free. Watch this. Malachi 3:8. Here's the question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, well, wherein have we robbed you? He said tithes and offerings. So two different distinct things. Tithes, first 10%. Offerings, what you decide. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed even the whole nation. See, when we don't tithe, it robs the nation because we can't reach out through media, we can't reach out through buildings, we can't change lives. And he says, here's the answer. Bring all the tithe. Tithe means tenth to the storehouse, the local church, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord. This is God. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, picture that, all that candy coming out of that window, pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And this is the good part. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. When God rebukes the devourer, it's a whole other thing. When God says, when you get this revelation that you're a tither and God rebukes the devourer, when the layoff comes and the trouble comes or the cancer comes, you go, oh, no, devil. My God said that he will rebuke the devourer for my sakes, and I'm going to watch my daughter get married. If I'm paying that bill, somebody ought to help me right now. For God's sakes, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to watch my kids and my kids' kids for the rest of my life because I am blessed. Well, I hope he blesses me. He has. Again, this isn't a heaven or hell issue. It was before the law. It was after the law. But the point is, God is simply saying, I want your heart. Raise your hand if you got kids. Raise your hand if you got kids, all the campuses. Raise your hand if you got more than one kid. So we clearly know that one of those kids you like more than the other kid. Which kid would you give away? Some of y'all thinking about it. Yeah, well, Johnny acts just like his daddy. Hey, can you bring your kid up here real quick? This is the 98th percentile. Yeah, you and just whoever wants to bring him up. I just saw this really cool-looking dude. He looks like an all-American Tonka truck big boy. Hey, buddy. Hi, man. What's his name?
Aiden.
So Aiden, I walked past him. He looked like him. I was pretty sure that that was the father. That's your dad? Is he a good dad? You love him a lot? Does he buy you stuff? Yeah, okay. So I walked up to him. Is he five? And he said?
3.5.
He's 3.5. He said he's in the 98th percentile. I'm like, that's a big boy right now. That boy going to play football. That boy's going to be security. You're going to be so much better looking and stronger than Corey. But he loves this child. How many of y'all think there's nothing in the world that that dad would not do for this baby? Because that's his son. And God loved you so much, he put the son on the altar and said, I'm going to risk it for the biscuit. I'm going to sow it so I can get back Jesus. Come on, he's not taking anything away, but I'm going to add to you. Okay, yeah. Hey, good job. Hey, you know what? Come here a minute. Do you like toys? What kind of toys do you like? Do you like dinosaurs? I thought you did. Hey, how about we do this? How about we come get this money real quick, and we take all this money, and we give this money to you today so you can go to the toy store. Let's do it really quick. Talk amongst yourselves. We're doing a deal here. Here, you just have to hold it. Hold it tight to your body. Hold it tight to your body.
My gosh. This...
You even know, you know this buy stuff, right? Just buy stuff.
He's like,
what, you have a wallet? Well, you're going to have a hard time. Do not let your mom steal this money, okay? You keep an eye. You and your dad, take that money. Come on, give it up for the man, the myth, the legend. He's going to go buy a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Listen. How many of y'all, it made you happy when I gave the kid the money? Raise your hand. How many of you are like, bah, you shouldn't have gave that little kid the money? His dad's clearly got a credit card. No, God likes money to move. It's like manure. If it stays in a pile, it smells bad. If you spread it out, it fertilizes things and it begins to grow. God will get it to you if he can get it through you. Somebody ought to shout amen today. Deuteronomy 28, watch this. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee the good treasures of heaven. Good treasures. Sorry, I need an antibiotic. My doctor's here. She's going to give me a, I don't want to go, you here? Text her today, and I said, man, I need something. It's really great when you have a church. You just text your doctor, and they go get it and bring it to you. Give it up for every drugs we need is in the building. You need weed, there's it's at our church. I didn't mean it. I really did, for God's sakes. I like a church that's got a little weed and a little creed. Can I get an amen? I'm not advocating it. I just want you to come to church. If you're high, come to church. If you're low, if you come to church, give Jesus a shot. You'll be like the 98th percentile little boy that's going to the toy store today. Can I get an amen? The last scripture, here we go. The Lord shall open unto thee the good treasures of heaven and give rain into your land in his season, and he will bless the work of your hand. Picture me again, saran wrap. My hand can't be blessed. I can't lend to nations. I'm just in debt, discontented, when I'm tied up and bound. But when I say, hey, God, I promise you, the next paycheck I get, every dime out of a dollar, I will return to you. Well, what if my husband says no? Well, you don't tithe off of his money, tithe off of your money. Never stopped you from getting your nails, did? Come on, can I get an amen up in this room? So tithe off of your money. When you get to heaven, God's not going to look and say, hey, your wife wouldn't let you? You went bowling, Bob. She said no. You went golfing. She said no. You honor God. And God will honor your marriage, your mind, and your money. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Fairview, Weldon, Ferguson, online. This is a pivotal moment to free you financially. We laughed a little. We cried a little. We experienced joy while we were learning this good news. The good news of the gospel is today that Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Say this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. I give you my heart, but I also repent for holding back, out of fear, the resources that belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. And by the way, for new people, I like to address you. You know, some people, you know, they're like, bring up gas, they're like, ah, you know. Most people understand that churches are funded by tithes and offerings. But then occasionally people will say, oh, the church just wants your money. Well, I want to address that. You know who wants your money? The Cardinals game, the Blues game. Try to get in a Cardinals game without a ticket and see. Taylor Swift wants your money. Try to get into a Taylor Swift concert without a ticket. It's not going to happen. You can get into church anytime absolutely free. We've done it to thousands of people, but it's funded by the resources at our church. Give God praise today as you check this out.